Every kiss is a revolution. 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 Every kiss is a revolution.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. The music you just heard is kind of a teaser for one of the special segments on tonight's show. It's by New York singer-songwriter David Brown, who you'll hear about later. One of three male artists whose work I'm saluting tonight from the genres of folk rock and pop, covering the last 20 years. The first artist I'm featuring produced an album that I've admired for a long time, and it's taken me over a year to track him down for an interview. His name is Leroy Dysart, and in 1982 he released his only album called We Are Everywhere. The title song took on almost anthem status immediately after he wrote it, and among other highlights of his musical career was writing the official theme song for the 1982 Christopher Street West Parade in Los Angeles. It was called A New Gay Dawning. He's done quite a bit of acting in musicals and cabaret singing, and has composed for choirs and orchestras. He's written with Christian singer Marcia Stevens, and has even written an opera based on the biblical story of David and Jonathan. The inspiration for his anthem, We Are Everywhere, came from both his experience of hearing Sergeant Leonard Matlevich speak at a Pride event, and from watching on television the coverage of the 1979 March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights. I asked him to tell us about it.
As several of the songs on the album are, they're directly in response to the difficulties I was going through, mostly with my family. My mom was like on this crusade that if she could keep me back at home long enough that she would somehow get me converted back to being a straight person again. I had been there several weeks and just wasn't leaving the house, wasn't leaving my room, very depressed, and someone sent me an advocate which announced the Gay Pride weekend at the University of Missouri, which was only a half hour away. They made me promise to go. And Leonard Matlevich, if you remember who he was, the Air Force guy, was speaking. So I promised to go, and it was a great time. He was very inspiring. He was a wonderful speaker. It really struck me when he said, what if everything that gay people had done was not here? What if every brick that a gay person had laid in a building was gone? What if every piece of road that a gay person had led was not there? You think we'd be able to drive on the streets or the buildings would hold up? It got me to thinking, all across the board, what would it be like if all of our contributions were just sucked out of the universe? That was really, something to think about. And then within a few days was the march. I could not watch it at home. So I had been invited to some of the people's house that I had met at Gay Pride Weekend a few weeks earlier to come over and watch it on the news. We had a little party and watched it. The local channel showed all of like 30 seconds, but they just showed the camera panning. That whole place was just totally filled, and people were chanting, "We are everywhere. We are everywhere." And it just made me cry. I didn't know that many gay people existed in the whole world. Coming from Fulton, the size of 10,000 people, something like that, I really thought I was the only one. So, as happens, the songs just start in my head spontaneously. Just the phrase, "We are everywhere," that everybody was chanting, suddenly had music to it.
Here's a little bit of "We Are Everywhere."
Are everywhere. take a look around you. Don't be too surprised at what you find. We have always been with you, and now it's time to speak our mind. Many years we hid in silence and shadows, in closets built of fear and guilt and shame. But we won't be victims any longer. The lies must end, and now we must proclaim that we are everywhere. Yes, we are everywhere. We're your sisters, we're your brothers, your sons and your daughters. Oh, we are everywhere.
Another very noteworthy song by LeRoy was called You Did It Out of Love, and was in a way a thank you song to the organization Parents and Friends of Lesbian and Gays for the support he received by attending their meetings.
You Did It Out of Love. My lover and I, at the time, my first lover, we got acquainted with Parents and Friends pretty early on when we got together. We both came from families that were having troubles with us being gay, and we started going to Parents and Friends weekly discussion groups. They were really great people to us. Some of them sort of adopted us as surrogate kids, which was really nice to get a parental support that I'd never had before. And I became very attached to some of the people there, and I wanted to write something to honor them. And they asked me to sing at their first international conference. And I just decided that I would surprise them with a song for them.
You didn't have to share our load. You didn't have to walk our road. But you did it out of love. You didn't have to hold our hand. You didn't have to understand. But you did it out of love. This world is never easy if you don't conform. If you don't fit the norm, they'll shut you out. And if your friends and parents tell you that you don't belong, it's hard to still be strong, hard not to doubt. So it's good sometimes to see a smiling face along the way, to hear somebody say they'll help you build a brighter day. You didn't have to share our load. You didn't have to walk our road. But you did it out of love. You didn't have to hold our hand. You didn't have to understand. But you did it out of love. It would have been convenient just to turn your head, pretend that we were dead, not even there. And the forces that oppose us soon will have your name and try to bring you shame because you care. But the force of love is stronger than the force of hate, you know. And with your help we'll grow, and soon all hate will go. You didn't have to share our load. You didn't have to walk a road. But you did it out of love. You didn't have to hold our hand. You didn't have to understand. understand, but you did it out of love.
Do you have any other comments about the song, You Did It Out of Love?
That's basically all there is to it, except that I had asked, this is one of the first times I asked someone to co-write with me, Harry Wingfield, who is somebody that really has been overlooked and forgotten. Harry was a guitarist and vocalist, but he was a comedian. He was known for a couple of comedy songs that he had put out on 45s, wrote very funny comedy numbers, openly gay comedy numbers. There was one song of his that I went on to perform that was very 50s like, oh, 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 the first time I met you was at our high school dance. Very funny song about two guys. It turns out to be, you think a guy and a girl going to the senior prom, but it turns out there are two guys who go with girls, but they get to the dance, they end up kissing each other and going home with each other and making out in the car and leaving their girlfriends behind at the dance.
When I visited the Roy in Los Angeles last month, I was delighted that he told me about Harry Wingfield and this song, because I had never heard of the artist, and I was even more pleased that he loaned me a copy of Harry Wingfield's tape so that I could share the song with you. From the very rare 1992 cassette tape, Songs of Life, Songs of Love, here's I Do, I Do, I Do, the senior prom song.
I met you was at our high school dance. I was shy, I hesitated, afraid to take a chance. You walked by and you asked me if I want to walk with you. I do, I do, I do. Oh, 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 we walked in the moonlight. We had lots of fun. I saw fire in your eyes, felt your hand on my left bun. I have waited for a lifetime, but at long last I knew I do, I do, I do. We went to the car for our first kiss. We went too far. We found true bliss. We made sweet love the whole night through. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. Oh, 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 oh. So both of our girlfriends had to walk home from the prom. Annette told your father. Kara Sue told my mom. We lost our reputation, but we found love so true. I do, I do, I do. To the car for our first kiss. We went too far. We found true bliss. We made sweet love the whole night through. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. Oh, 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 oh. School days are ending. Graduation is near. And the entire senior class knows that you and I are special friends. 'Cause I cannot tell a lie when they ask if I love you. I do. Ooh, I do. I do. I do. I do. I do.
Again, that was Harry Wingfield. Gee, I would have loved to have heard songs like that on the radio when I was a kid. But back to my interview with Leroy. I wanted to ask him about one more song, one that is one of my favorites from his album. Tell me about the song, I Love a Man.
That was written for my lover at the time as a proposal. It was a proposal in a way. We had a date on a Friday night, which extended into Sunday afternoon. We had dinner and then we didn't get out of bed till Sunday afternoon, something like that. And then I moved in the next Thursday. It was like we met on a Friday and by the next Thursday I had moved in.
You're fast.
This was not typical behavior. This was very unusual. It was him. He was the one who really pushed it. And I was like on a roller coaster, didn't know how to get off. And we moved in as roommates because we said, you know, we don't know each other very well, obviously. And we both still have the right to date other people and we'll just be roommates, you know, and we'll see how things go. So we called ourselves roommates for about 6 months. Of course, we were falling in love with each other as that time went by. So he went away on a trip, and that's when I really knew I was in love with him. Because
you missed him.
Yeah, how much I missed him. And sitting home being lonely for him produced I Love a Man. And a friend of ours was joining him at wherever it was he was, and I asked her to take a copy of it on a cassette tape to him and give it to him. It was kind of my way of saying, can we be lovers now? And we were. That's when we changed from being roommates to lovers.
I love a man. He's not a man I expected to love, but still I love this man, even though it wasn't planned. We don't own each other, the contents or the cover, but we share as brothers, and we build bridges. Our reachers, funny how we teach each other daily what freedom is, even while we both are reaching for such different stars. Now they're near, now they're far, but we find other songs in our wins and in our failures. I love a man. He's not a man I expected to love, but still I love this man, even though it wasn't planned. It may last or it may not. Still and all, I know I've got one hell of a lot more than what I had before. I met this man.
The next artist I'm featuring is Joe Bracco, and with my love for openly gay lyrics, it was natural for me to be drawn to his work. He began performing in the New York area in 1980, but it was not until several years later that he found his own voice, both personally and musically. To be true to himself, he stopped composing heterosexual songs and around 1987 started using his melodic flair to write songs that portrayed gay feelings and lives in a positive way. Joe's dream was to release an album of his songs, but sadly, he would not live to see that come true, because in March of 1991, he died of AIDS. He was only 30. His songs, mostly done on home recordings, were turned over to his good friend, Paul Phillips, of Romanowski and Phillips, and Paul used his studio and arranging talents to complete Joe's dream. The album, released as a cassette tape in 1992, was called True to Myself. I spoke with Paul Phillips recently and got these comments. I first asked him to comment about one of my favorite songs on the album, called Friend in My Pocket.
Friend in My Pocket is a great song. I love it because it takes a subject that, at that time in history, not many people wanted to really discuss. That was before there were condom ads on TV and whatnot, even before that discussion began, I think. And Joe's dream for that song was that it would be used in educational campaigns, you know, for AIDS awareness and safe sex campaigns. That was his dream, and it was used a tiny bit. I think it aired on one of the cable stations at one point. I mean, it's a very clever way of talking about a condom. But yeah, I think it's a great song, and it's really great to be able to both educate and entertain at the same time.
Looking back to the good old days, times have made us change our ways, but I think we can still have fun. It all depends on how it's done. Oh, let me introduce you to a friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket. I've got a friend in a rubber in my pocket. It never lets me down, it's good to carry around, so if I need it, I've got it. Friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket. I never leave home without a friend in my pocket. And everywhere I go, it'll be there, I know. So if I need it, I've got it. Now I play safely when I do, 'cause I care for me, I care for you. And if you'd like to have some fun, hey, I can show you how it's done. Oh, let me introduce you to a friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket. I've got a friend in a rubber in my pocket. It never lets me down, it's good to carry around, so if I need it, I've got it. Friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket. I never leave home without a friend in my pocket. And everywhere I go, it'll be there, I know, so if I need it, I've got it. Remember what I'm telling you, 'cause a friend in my pocket can be a friend in your pocket too. Friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket. I've got a friend in a rubber in my pocket. It never lets me down, it's good to carry around, so if I need it, I've got it. Friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket. I never leave home without a friend in my pocket. And everywhere I go, it'll be there, I know. So if I need it, I've got it. Friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket, friend in my pocket.
Can you tell me something about him as a person?
Joe was an amazing man. He was such a sweetheart. He was passionate. He was Italian. In that way, he sort of definitely embodied the stereotype of the passionate Italian man. He had such a wonderful heart. He was very opinionated and rather cantankerous at times, especially when his mom was there. They were close. They were very, very close. and she was the light of his life.
Can you tell me a little about him as an artist?
As an artist? Well, I certainly respected his talents very much so. I thought in some ways he was doing something similar to what we were doing. And he did at numerous times in our friendship, he did credit us or acknowledge us for being quite an inspiration for him.
How did you come to produce the album?
Well, Joe and I had a bit of a fling. Not like a serious romantic fling, but we were intimate, we were affectionate. We lived in two parts of the country, so that probably wasn't ever going to become anything more than just a warm and intimate friendship. And in doing so, I spent time as well with him at his home on Long Island with his mom. So he got sick, and before he got sick, he had started working on an album project. He was choosing the songs, he was finding arrangers, arrangements, I should say, finding other people to play on the songs, trying to decide the song order and stuff like that. He had saved some money up for the project and then started getting sick. He contracted HIV and it went full blown to AIDS fairly quickly. I spent time with him right up until near the end. I wasn't there when he died, but I certainly was in the hospital visiting him on several occasions near the end. And he was constantly talking about the project, the album project. And I think it was to some degree something that actually gave him a will to survive for a while. Unfortunately, this was before a lot of the improvements in treatment. So his chances just weren't really that strong. He just kept getting sicker and sicker. He just kept getting one thing after another. Michael Callan was another one of his big influences. Michael was in New York at that point still, or for part of that time. And so he was somewhat friendly with Michael. I think Michael was also a real inspiration for Joe. On the other hand, I also think that Joe had great resentment for the fact that Michael didn't seem to be getting as sick as he was. I remember him being, at times, a handful in the hospital. His mother used to just throw her hands up in the air and say, "I can't manage him, I can't deal with him." He would lash out. And I think that's only natural when your life is ebbing away and you're young and you have this project that's finally going to be realized, but you can't get to it because you can't stay out of the hospital long enough to get it put together. When he died, shortly after he died, I called his mother up and we talked. And it became apparent that he had saved some money up and that she wanted to somehow get this project finished. I originally offered to help her. The short version of the story, I guess, would be just that we eventually agreed that I would finish the project. I would bring it to New Mexico and finish it there, or put it together there, really. There were only a few tracks that had actually been recorded, and they hadn't even been finished. So all she had was a lot of homemade cassettes and reel-to-reel tapes that he had recorded at home. There were only, I think there were only like two or three songs on the album that had actually been recorded in a studio originally when I got the project sort of in my lap. It's something I'm really proud of, that album, because it does have a lot of me in it, but it also, I think, has a great deal of respect for Joe, and I think it definitely features Joe. I think part of that was I did have an understanding of who Joe was and what he had hoped to have with these songs and with his album.
Can you tell us about the song Coming Out?
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. To me, it ranks up there with The Ones Who Aren't Here in terms of how beautiful, how simple and beautifully evocative it is of the pain without, again, without being morose and a real downer. It takes it in the other direction and comes from a place of warmth and love and encouragement. But in that warmth and love, you also feel the pain on the other side.
Why are you hiding behind that disguise? Concealing your feelings in secrets and lies? Are you afraid to be recognized? Expect to be rejected or criticized? I know how hard it must be when you want them to know, but you know they won't see. I just want you to feel free to know you can come out to me. Why are some people so firmly opposed? With narrow minds, shallow minds, they keep themselves closed. They leave you with guilt. Oh, but don't be ashamed. I accept and respect you. I love you the same. Yes, and I know how hard it must be when you want them to know, but you know they won't see. I just want you to feel free to know you can come out to me.
Last song on the tape is almost his own benediction. Please tell us about Home Free at Last.
Now that was one of Joe's earliest songs. That was a song that he actually recorded and released on a 45, I think. Yeah, I believe that was released even on a 45. And that was when he was part of a duo, singing with his friend Deborah. And it was actually written about his sister, I believe. I think it's a great pop song. I really do. I think it's just a really nice little pop song.
And a great closing song for the tape.
Well, the placement of that song on that album was definitely premeditated. It seemed like the perfect way to end the album. And, you know, anytime you set a song into an album with other songs around it, and you know the story behind the artist, it all conspires to make for a different story than maybe the song originally set out to do. And that's one of those times where this is very true. The song really was about his sister, I think, leaving home and stuff. But it ended up, in the context of the album, just being a beautiful way of saying farewell, of letting him go, you know, and hoping that he's at peace.
Home free at last to find my ocean. I've untied my rope from the shore, sailing and drifting at my own pace, looking for a place
climb my mountain. I look to the west and see the setting sun. I'm just beginning to see all the beauty around me. Please don't call me back.
Roaming aimlessly with hope. Freedom on my way is the woe.
And don't cry, Mom, I haven't cut the line. I've only untied my rope. I found my valley. Fertile and green and flourishing. And if I should wish to move on, I will. 'Cause I'm home free at last.
Roaming aimlessly with hope.
That was Joe Bracco and his early duet partner, Deborah Ruth, singing Home Free at Last from Joe's album, True to Myself. The album contains many other interesting songs that I can't do justice to here, but they have such titles as Cruiser's Blues, South Shore Boy, Kiss Me in Spanish, Golden Boy, and one very amusing one I won't comment on called Window Whacker. My interview with Paul Phillips was about twice longer than I could fit into this show, but you can hear the rest of it on my site. And this is a good time to remind you to be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Also, I invite you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com, where you can view the playlist and see photos of the artists and recordings and listen to the show anytime. My last special feature for the show is on the music of David Brown. David released his first album in 1996 called Splendid Wings. He followed that up in 1999 with Storm in a Teacup. And they both showcase his unique ability to reach out to the listener emotionally while dealing with some uncommon issues. His music can be both harmonious and thought-provoking at the same time. I've been a fan of his for several years and was very pleased to meet and interview him in New York last spring. David, please tell us, is it important for you to be out as a musician?
Yes and no. I originally was moved to write a lot of this music as part of my coming out process, and I wanted to, you know, yell it from the rooftops, and I still think out music is really important, and I think people being out is very important. At the same time, I'm moving more towards the feeling that music is music, and I'm not as concerned about being out all the time. It depends on who I'm talking to now, really, and if I feel like it's relevant.
The song Kathy and Claire was from your first album, Splendid Wings. Can you tell us about it?
Kathy and Claire were two women that I lived with. Kathy and Claire was the first song I wrote on the guitar. And it was two women I lived with in in Brookline, Mass. I always want to say Brooklyn. Brookline, Mass. I'm from Massachusetts originally, and it was one of my first real homes away from home, where I felt a great youthful independence and joy, and I actually felt a lot of things back then, but it was a really fun time.
I share a one bedroom with Kathy and Claire. It's a little bit tight, but I'm glad that I live there. With Kathy and Claire, with Kathy and Claire. And I get asked, what am I doing there? And I've been asked, who do I sleep with there? Is it Kathy or Claire? Well, I sleep on the floor there. I don't get any more, but occasional shots of them in their underwear. Kathy and Claire strutting their stuff in their underwear.
Another of my favorites from that album is Mr. Right.
Mr. Right was inspired by sexual compulsion and you know, looking for Mr. Goodbar, looking for Mr. Right right now. It was a very just personal song, a sort of exposing a part of myself, and it was a part of my process of coming out to more fully.
Takes you from behind. You watch out over the rooftops. You remain till night arrives. And watch those streets below explode. And you feel all high and low. What you capture is all fleeting and goodbye.
All goodbye.
All goodbye.
All goodbye.
And he's not your first. And he's not your last. But just hold him now and tell him you love him till your time has passed. He's Mr. Right, he's Mr. Right, he's Mr. Right for right now. The picture's on 6th Avenue, you get it right away, but he can't figure out the trick to it. Come on, you say this isn't art, and that was all it took. The fish and hook, it catches sharply, so sharp. And you'll watch him leave, oh, but you won't mind. And you'll linger there in Tompkins Square to see what you might find. Some Mr. Right, some Mr. Right, some Mr. Right for right now. It's way too late. It's not safe to be here, and you reposition me for proper worship. And the feeling is both mystical and sharp. What I capture is all fleeting and goodbye. All goodbye, all goodbye, all goodbye. And I'm not your first, and I'm not your last. But just hold me now and tell me you love me till our time has passed. I'll be your Mr. Right, I'll be your Mr. Right. I'm your Mr. Right for right now. Mr. Right, ooh, you're Mr. Right, I'll be your Mr. Right, for right now.
From Storm in a Teacup, your second album, the song Johnny Shoemaker is very interesting.
Johnny Shoemaker, there's a sort of genre of Johnny songs. There's Johnny songs out there, and when Johnny comes marching home, I don't know, there are Johnny songs out there, and I just felt like Johnny is sort of a collage. Johnny Shoemaker is a collage, I think of it, of different very gay images, and I sort of incorporate like a soldier, a fighter, And there's a longing. It's a song about longing and longing for sort of, you know, a sort of mythical hero to come home named Johnny.
Johnny was a shoemaker when he loved me. Johnny was a shoemaker when he went off to sea. His jacket, a deep sky blue. He found his heart, his courage, his home. He found his yellow brick road. He found his heart, his courage, his home. Johnny was my north and south, my east, my west. Johnny was my working boots, he was my Sunday best. His madness ran fathoms deep. He found his heart, his courage, his home. He found his yellow brick road. He found his heart, his courage, his home.
I wish we had time to play more songs from that album, such as Embraced by the Mob, the song that got David banned by Borders Books. But listeners can hear a little more of that one on his website at www.davidbrownmusic.com. During our interview, David was gracious enough to play two of his songs for me. They will likely be on his new album, hopefully released in the next few months, so you're getting a special advanced listen to them. The first one is called Magic, and the second is about his high school gym teacher.
This is a song for the new album. It's a kind of a good old-fashioned love song. That's all I intended to do.
I really wasn't in the mood, this waitress giving me attitude, when suddenly I turned and saw your face. You spun around to stare me down. When you winked at me, I spilled my cup. The world became a whole new world, all sunny side up. Oh, it's simple, simple. It's starting with your dimple. I was horny for the corny and cliche. Oh, it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. It's a beautiful thing, it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. It's a beautiful thing we got going on between us. Have you seen us lately? I really never knew how to flirt, but I opened with I like your shirt, and it all became a breeze from there on in. You didn't care that all I owned was a box of books and four guitars, though you did suggest I cut my hair and chop up all those credit cards. It's juicy, it's juicy, it's so I love Lucy. When you open our front door and call my name, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. It's a beautiful thing, it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. It's a beautiful thing we got going on between us. Oh, have you seen us lately? At summer nights we leave town, and we lay the pup tents down, light our fires up with sticks. Never thought that I would come to this. For the love of Pete, we're free, we're free. Now we're renovating this old shack. I play guitar while you shellac. We're raising animals out in back and painting everything pink. And everybody comes around cause we're the greatest guys in town. I really love the crowds, but you're all that I can think about. It's Oprah, it's opera, it's over the top. Yeah, I was open to eloping, and now I say, we're not going away because it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. It's beautiful, it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. We accept ourselves. We let ourselves in, we admit who we are, and we fall in love again. We accept ourselves, we let ourselves in, we admit who we are, and we fall in love again. Cause it's magic, it's magic, it's magic, it's beautiful, it's magic, it's magic, it's magic. Have you seen us lately?
Oh, and I'll do another one. What could I do? No, I'll do one that I haven't recorded yet, but it's an oldie, but I've just never recorded. I might put on the album. Okay, here we go. This is an oldie but goodie.
I had a crush on my gym teacher. His green and white sweats and his spot-filled sneakers. His iron arms on the parallel bars. His cool control over the football stars. In high school, high school really bit. In high school, I took so much. In high, I wanted to cry. So I stayed high in high school. Don't wanna hear about dominating mothers. I like my mom, yeah, she's okay. I don't wanna hear about nasty older brothers. Cause I like them too, and they know how I like to play. I told them in high school how it really sucked. In high school, I was out and out of luck. In high, I wanted to die, but somehow I survived high school. In high school, I always hated showering with a teen, trying hard not to think about that soap and steam. In high school, I always hated showering in gym, but it always made my day to catch a glimpse of him. Cause I had a crush on my gym teacher. In high, Jesus Christ, I love that guy. In high school.
Okay, I've got one more song by David Brown I want you to hear, and it's my favorite. But before I play it, I want to thank you all for tuning into the show, and I want to thank Leroy Dysart and David Brown for their interviews, and to thank Paul Phillips for sharing his memories of Joe Bracco. Please check out my website, logically enough, at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, I'd love to hear them. Please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. David, please tell us about the song, Every Kiss is a Revolution.
Every Kiss is a Revolution is about public displays of affection and how straight people can take for granted, gay people do not take for granted when they're out in public and want to show affection, because there's a risk, a real true risk of maybe verbal assault or physical assault, and it can be very serious. So it's a revolutionary act to display affection, same-sex affection in public, and it's something I think about a lot.
I think it's your masterpiece.
Really? Wow. Wow. Thank you. That's neat to hear. I mean, I think it's like, to me, that's sort of, it's kind of like old stuff to me today, but I know it's still relevant. So that's very nice to hear. Thank you, GD.
Every kiss is a revolution.
Every kiss.